Go ahead and open your Bibles this evening to Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, and you should have a sheet tonight as well. As we've been going through this series, God's answers to man's problems. And if you're thinking tonight, I don't have any problems, well then you're in the right place, because we all have them, amen, and God has the answer for them.
Amen.
Mark chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 7. It's an action-packed book, the book of Mark. And we see the Lord here telling His disciples to do something. And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And He said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Go down to verse 30, if you will. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So now they've returned. Understand, they instructed them to go out and to preach the gospel and gave them special apostolic powers as a sign gift. And here they come back, and in verse 31... He says, And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And He commanded them to make all sit down and by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men.
Amen.
Imagine being there. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, I pray tonight that You'd help me to preach this message. Lord, You know my heart. You know my desire. You know the preparation of this message. And I need Thee to help me to deliver it. Open our hearts that we might receive what You have for us tonight. And may we recognize tonight, through this entire series, really, Father, Your all sufficiency for all things.
Thank You.
That You are indeed all we need.
Thank You.
And we do pray if someone's here tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night they get that settled.
Pray,
but for the believer, You'd help us in this area that all of us struggle with. Please help me tonight and help us all, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. After the Second World War, one of the small appliances that began to rise in popularity was the pressure cooker. Although it was invented long before, the pressure cooker provided Americans with a way to capture old-time flavors in much shorter times. And it fit the culture of the times. We were in a transitional time coming out of the war, and People wanted good, slow-cooked, tasting food, but not spending the time to do that, hence the pressure cooker. To address this boom in the market for pressure cookers, manufacturers developed different sizes and capacities of pressure cookers to try and capture this growing market for the product. But there was something that happened that was very sad when they started to produce them. Unfortunately, the rapid production of these pressure cookers had an impact on the quality. Many of the products that were being sold in stores had a very common manufacturer's defect. The steam release valve would get clogged, causing the pressure cooker to explode. One man described it this way. He said, quote, "My wife was preparing a stew one day, and a bang and a call from the kitchen brought me running. The pressure cooker had blown up, and what was supposed to be in the cooker was now on the ceiling. It had a safety valve that was supposed to let off the excess steam, but somehow that safety valve had become clogged, and the pressure built up until the little rubber plug that was the safety valve let go with a bang, and that pot emptied itself through that quarter-inch hole." Imagine the scene. Thank God she was safe, amen. Now, I told that story to say this. Too many Christians are similar to this pressure cooker. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that the pressures in life build up inside of us. I mean, they churn and they move, and it seems like our release valve has malfunctioned, and the steam builds up, and we look for something that will quiet the tensions, that will somehow relieve the stress and remove the pressure, because if we don't, the pressure will mount, and we, like that pressure cooker, will let it go with an explosive force. A force that not only devastates everything and everyone around us, but leaves us with nothing but a mess. Oh, I know that doesn't describe anyone in this room, tongue in cheek, by the way. But we make a mess when that happens. And then we have to deal with the guilt of our destructive behavior. All because what's happened is we have mishandled the pressures of life. And I say tonight that many of us could be called pressure cooker Christians. We allow the stress and the pressures to stress us out. So the question tonight is this, as we've been dealing with this series of God's answers to man's problems, the question is, how can you and I biblically respond to the pressures that you and I face? How can we respond to the various demands that are put on our lives and not get stressed out? How can we deal with the title here, Man's Problem of Stress? You know, the words stress and tension are not in the Bible, but the principles are. Here in Mark chapter 6, the disciples are experiencing the pressures of life. Can you put yourself in their shoes for a moment? For some time now, a pretty brief time, I don't remember exactly where it is, probably around the 2-year mark, they were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were watching Him preach. They were watching Him heal people. They were listening to His sermons. And now the day comes where He says, okay, I want you to go out and do it yourself. For the first time. He takes these 70 and He sends them out. And can you imagine what He says to them? I want you to go out in verse 7, 2 by 2. He gave them power over unclean spirits. And notice what He says. He says, take nothing for your journey. Don't bring a thing. Notice in verse 8, save a staff only, no script, no bread, no money in your purse, be shod with sandals, and not put on 2 coats. Imagine, don't go out there with anything but a stick. And I want you to go out there and I want you to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world and trusting Him to provide for them. And think about all the how they felt inside. I'd imagine the pressure was building up. It would have been in with me. And here is this a message, a fairly new Christian, if you will. I remember the first time I went out soul winning, and you know the story. Many of you chuckle at it. And the assistant pastor said, "Okay, you're ready? Go ahead and do it." And I felt like saying, "I'm not ready." Now I went out and did it. But I'll tell you what, the pressure was on. I was nervous. I felt like stressing out, if you will. And no doubt that's how they felt as well. And then later we see them facing a multitude that needed to be fed. And Christ said to them, "You feed them." And they thought, "What do you mean, feed them? We don't have money. We don't have anything." And He tells them to take the 5 and 2 fishes and He would bless it. And He ended up with miraculously feeding them. My point is this. There was a lot of pressure on them. But what's interesting is you don't see them stressing out. Why is that? Well, perhaps of what we see happening in between those two events. I want to talk about that here in a moment as we go through this story. But tonight what I'd like for us to do, I'd like for us to see how the pressures that they faced and that we face should be dealt with biblically so that you and I can respond to the pressures of life in a Christ-like manner.
Amen.
Let's notice, first of all, number one, the reality of stress. The reality of stress. You know, when we speak of stress, we are speaking of, I don't think I have to explain it to any of us, we get it. It's the feeling that we get when we face all of the demands that life brings. All of the pressures, it could also be referred to as tension. It is the result of life's pressures. It is that feeling when we're talking about stress that at any moment the slightest thing could happen and you and I could explode. What brings on this stress? Where is it coming from? Do you remember when you were a small child? Wasn't any stress then, was there? I mean, sometimes we kind of look back and we say, "Boy, I wish life was so simple." Because here we were, and we lived a relatively carefree, stress-free life. I mean, our parents took care of us. They fed us. They clothed us. They gave us a place to live, a place to sleep. They paid for everything we did when we were little. And there was nothing to worry about. We had very little to think about except going outside and playing. But did you notice that all of that changed? It does for all of us. You say, what happens? Life happens. I mean, life goes on and we progress. And what happens as life progresses is this. Our responsibilities and our obligations begin to grow. I mean, we start going to school and there's schoolwork and classes and we have to deal with friends and teachers. Then we go to high school and college and get a job, and many of us get married, and many have children. We get involved in our career or whatever the Lord leads us to, and we buy a house or live in a house, and we begin to run a household. And did you notice that as life moves on, it brings forth more responsibilities, more obligations, and more expectations for all of us? But can I remind us tonight that that's the way it's supposed to be? You may think, "Oh, I wish I were there." No, you don't. You know why? Because God doesn't want us to stay there.
Amen.
You see, God did not create us to remain as children. Yes, we're to have childlike faith. I understand that. But we are not to remain as dependent little children. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's what God wants us to do. We are to grow up. We're to become men and women. God has given us this life in order for us to know Him and to live for Him and to love Him and to serve Him and to grow up and become a responsible spouse or a responsible adult, a responsible parent, grandparent, citizen, church member, human being. That's what we're to do.
Amen.
He wants us to raise our families for Him and live for Him in this world. We are not to stay babies all of our lives. We're to grow and be what He saved us to be. But with that growth, in all of those areas I just mentioned a moment ago, the responsibilities, the obligations, and the expectations of life increase. And as those increase, the pressures increase. And as the pressures increase, the potential for stress increases as well. That's what happens. That's what we all go through. You know, I think of two types of pressures that we face. And number one, or letter A, is this. First of all, everyday pressures. You know, Job 14:1, I read this verse quite often. It says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days," watch this, "and full of troubles." Every day we face pressures. As adults, as Christians, as citizens, as spouses, as parents, and all of that. All kinds of things. Every day we face them. We face financial pressures. We have bills to pay. That's a reality. Nobody gets free lights and free heat and free air conditioning. Nobody does. We got to pay our bills. Then we have work pressures. Demands from the place we work in, the people pressures that we face as well. Add to that family pressures. Pressures with our spouses, pressures with our children to take care of them and guide them and lead them, to feed them. If they're young, we got to do the whole diaper thing. We have to settle disputes. And then we have a come from work and we have a home to take care of with the lawn and the cleaning and the cooking and the repairing of things. We face these challenges and pressures every single day. All of us do. Some people have the idea, well, you get in the ministry, you just work on Wednesdays and Sundays. That's not true. It's as hard as, if not harder than the secular work I did.
Amen.
There's a lot there. I'm not trying to act like I work harder, but we all face it, is what I'm trying to say. So there's the everyday pressures. But then letter B, there's also the unforeseen pressures. Don't you hate those? I mean, it's enough to say, I got to work, I got to get to church, I got to study for my Sunday school class, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to deal with kids, I got to deal with all this stuff, and people I work with. Then add to that the unexpected. Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I'm a set up your dominoes and leave them set up kind of guy. Don't mess with them. Don't knock them over. I like things in order. I like to know my day. I like to know what I'm doing. But guess what? I hardly ever, if ever, get that done. Because there's always, and maybe you're that way, maybe you're not. But my point is this, there's always stuff that's happening that we don't expect. Unforeseen. The car dies. The prang said amen right there. I mean, an unexpected expense pops up. A sudden illness that you're not expecting. A health issue in yourself or in a loved one or an emergency. Perhaps a house emergency. You're sitting there and you notice that the roof has a leak. Or the appliance is all of a sudden making a funny noise. And you're wondering, what is that? Why is the dishwasher grumbling like that? I remember the other day I was using that, and I always say this wrong, it's Keurig, whatever it is, that coffee thing, that's how I say it. And I went to put it in, and I didn't realize it, I didn't have the water container on the right way, just filled up with water. And it started going, and I'm thinking, oh no, here's another $120 for a Keurig. But then I said, look, I just didn't have the water on there right. I was about to do a hallelujah dance. All because I didn't have to buy another Keurig. Because in the Moore House, coffee is a must. Amen. But I'm just saying, these things happen to all of us. And as we face these things, what happens is the pressures on all of us begin to mount. And we become stressed. And if we're not careful, we'll blow a gasket. You see, my point is this. Stress is something that everybody deals with. That everybody has to watch because of all of the pressures that not only every human being has faced them, but we all face these things. It is a reality. By the way, young person, if you're sitting there thinking, well, life's going to be different for me. I'm going to marry Mr. or Mrs. Right, and we're never going to have a disagreement. And everything's going to work out just fine. All of our bills will be paid and we'll have the perfect house and the perfect setting and take the perfect vacation with our perfect kids. Wow. That just shows your immaturity. Because life is filled with pressures. Everyday pressures and unforeseen pressures. So number one, the reality of stress. Then number two, let's talk about the reason for stress. Why, now watch this, I'm trying to make a distinction here. Why do we allow our obligations in life and the pressures in life to stress us out? That we walk around stressed and if we're not careful, it can cause some to, I say it again, blow a gasket. Do you know there's a great misconception about stress? Many have the idea that stress is something that begins externally that causes stress within us. It's not true. Stress does not come from the outside. It originates from inside the person. Here's what I mean. No person or persons or circumstance can cause you to stress. You are the only one that can do that. Amen. Trying to take the blame off of the outside and realize when I'm stressing out, it's not anybody else's fault or my circumstances' fault. It's my fault. Stress is something that we do to ourselves. If there is stress, it has been generated from within, not from without. Stress is a result of our internal response to our external circumstances. Now, I think you have something down the bottom. Here's kind of, you probably write some things down here. Here's the one I want you to write. Stress is an improper response to the pressures of life. That's what it is. By the way, it can be expressed in so many ways. It can be expressed, it's often displayed by outbursts of anger. Stop doing that to the kids. Honey, take it easy. Well, I'm stressed. Why are you stressed? But that's how it can happen. Sometimes it's expressed in little more subtle ways. Maybe not an outburst of anger, but maybe an unkind statement to someone. Kind of a sharp one, if you know what I mean. After all, I had a bad day. Don't mess with me. Okay? Let me get over it. That's how we think. Sometimes it's merely overreacting to something. But then sometimes we keep it bottled up inside and we eat away because we're stressing out. Do you know there are two main causes of stress in the life of a Christian? What would cause us distress? To feel that pressure, to be on edge, at any moment, just like that crock pot, that cooker there. What would cause that? Well, here they are. Number one is this: when we take upon ourselves responsibilities that are not God's will. Let me explain this, okay? So just listen. Taking upon yourself responsibilities that are not God's will. You know, one of the misconceptions about stress is this, is that stress occurs because we have too much to do. That's what we say. Most of us instinctively say this, quote, if I just didn't have so many demands upon my time, if I didn't have so many demands upon my life, if I didn't have so much to do, I wouldn't be stressed out. Well, that's not necessarily true. Because if you and I are going to live for God, if we are going to fulfill God's will for our lives, if we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to be the right kind of employer or employee, or the right kind of husband or wife and mother and father and church member, do you know there'll be plenty to do? Right? Anybody need stuff to do? Anybody? I got plenty of here. We can have you disinfect the church right up. Anyway. But if you're going to do something for the Lord and live for God, we will be. The disciples were busy. Jesus Christ was busy when he was in his earthly ministry. The early church, go to the book of Acts. If you don't think they were moving, you're not reading the right book. I mean, they were moving, they were busy, they were living for God, winning souls, planting churches, and so forth. In fact, laziness is a sin.
Amen.
Can I remind us of that?
Right.
We were put on this earth to work.
Amen.
Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, goes on to tell them, that has no ruler over them, yet they work. That's what we were here to do, are here to do. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. The Bible says if we don't work, we shouldn't eat. So understand something. Work is a part of life. And again, that's what we're here to do. We're here to work.
Amen.
And that means we'll be busy. Here's the but. But stress occurs when we take upon ourselves responsibilities that are not God's will for our life. Many people do that. Hey, let me give you an example and explain it this way. Here's the problem. Do you know the needs? Let's talk about the Christian life and the ministry and serving the Lord. We're in church, we can do that. But the needs of this world far exceed anything any individual can do. Isn't that true? I mean, 38,000 people in Dover and rising. Just under a million in our state. I know we're small. That's nothing compared to some other areas. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. And so as we look out, we think of, this is what I do. When I ride around at times, I see places and I see kids. I often say, man, that'd be a great place for a bus route to go.
Amen.
Boy, it's a good neighborhood to go knock on some doors.
Amen.
But did you know this, that the needs are so great and they far exceed what any one person can do? And for what is vital for every one of us to do is to ask ourselves this question. What does God want me to do?
Amen.
What does God want me to do? I heard this said before. You probably heard it. It's a familiar statement, but I like it. And that is this: God-given duties never conflict. That's not Amen. My statement, but I really like it.
Amen.
God-given duties never conflict. In other words, when I was born male. Amen. By the way, it's either male or female. That's it. That's another sermon. But I was born male. That means it was God's responsibility for me to be a man. Then, of course, God led me to get married.
Amen.
We weren't going any further until she said that, so I'm glad she figured it out. She was actually writing something down. And we got married. That means, guess what? And we believe it was God. It's God's will that we're married, of course. Therefore, it's God's will for me to be the husband to my wife.
Amen.
Of course, we get saved, and so all the things of the Christian life that everybody's supposed to do, right? Read your Bible and pray and witness and give. All those, I know, all of those are God's will for my life. Then God led me to be a pastor. And so therefore, I know it's a God-given duty. All of those, and then a father and grandfather and so forth. All of those things are God's will for me. And so if I'm doing those things and something's not is out of balance, the problem's not God, the problem's with me. But you have to understand, and you have your list as well, that not everything is God's will for me and not God's will for you. It's different. And so, for me, again, I can't take upon myself responsibilities that are not God's will for me. I want to show you John chapter 17 real quick, what the Lord Jesus Christ said. This was a life-changing truth for me. It may be simple, and you may go, "Oh, I don't see it," but it was good for me. So you're gonna, and I'm preaching, so you gotta listen. John 17:4, Jesus Christ speaking. I have glorified thee, speaking, praying to his heavenly Father. I have glorified thee on the earth. Notice, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now wait a minute here. Was everybody in the world healed? No. Was everybody saved? There was more to do. Was there more work to do? Yeah. But Christ said, I finished the work you gave me to do.
Amen.
You see, the goal in your life, in my life, is to do God's will.
Amen.
What God wants me to. I know He's called me to pastor. I know He hasn't, at least not now, yet, called me to the mission field. He hasn't called me to do all the other things I'm not doing. And so what happens is the problem that causes the stress is when we take upon ourselves responsibilities that are not God's will for our lives. You see, no one person, get this now, no one person can be involved in every ministry in the church.
Right.
If you think you can't, you're going to be stressed out. Because God has a ministry for you. He's gifted you, and He's going to speak to your heart just like He speaks to everyone. Everyone's heart and say, this is what I want you to do. Some people have the idea, well, if it's something needs to be done, I guess it's for me to do. That's not true. Just because a nursery spot opens, and it's always open, doesn't mean it's necessarily you. Just because the bus ministry is open, doesn't mean it's for you. You have to get alone with God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because when you start thinking about all these other things and taking every responsibility, it's not God's will for your life. You're going to get stressed out. You're going to get totally stressed out. Find what God wants you to do and do it. You know, when I was younger, we lived in a home and Pennsylvania. We lived for several years, about 5 years, 5 or 6 years, in Aston, Pennsylvania, just over the line from Delaware, in Delaware County. And the home we lived in had a fuse box. How many remember the fuse boxes, right? They had those things, probably most of us do. You know, it looked like a light bulb end, and you had to do that. And when something went out, you had to run down there and figure it out and all that. You know, when a fuse blew, you could blame the wiring of the house for the fuse, as much blown fuse for as much as you wanted to. But it's not the fault of the wiring. It's the individual who overloaded the wiring. You see, that fuse was only designed to carry a certain load. And if you overloaded it, it would blow the fuse. Same with you. Same with me. God has a will for your life. And if you have this idea, well, I'm just going to do everything, you're going to blow a fuse. Now, when a missionary comes in and presents something, all of us should say, Lord, is that what you want me to do? If you want me to give, you want me to go, you want me to do something? We should consider that. But if God doesn't lead you to do that, don't feel bad. Because that's not what He wants for you. And that's how the stress piles up. When we take all those responsibilities. Do you know one of the hardest words to learn for many people is the word no? I can't. Do you know that no is just as spiritual as yes, as long as it's in the will of God? Amen. Everybody should pray about the mission field. Missionary comes. Does that include the preacher? Yeah. Does that mean I should pray? Yeah. I said, don't do that. I'm just saying. God says no. I'm here. It's got me here. I know it's in my heart. Here I am. Someone could have said amen. But I'd say no. No. Because it's not God's will. So the first main cause of stress is that. Taking upon yourself responsibilities that are not God's will. Then secondly is this. Is feeling inadequate in the responsibilities that are God's will. Feeling inadequate. You know, even when we consider the things that God does want me to do, want us to do, we can feel inadequate. Isn't that true?
Right.
And that feeling of inadequacy, if we're not careful, because it should be there, but if we're not careful, can produce stress. Do you know that's what was happening in Mark chapter 6? Remember what Christ told them to do, right? Yeah, they went out and they preached and did all that, came back, and then they told them how everything went. And there's going to be a feast that I'm going to show you here in a minute. But after that, they went out and the 5,000 were there. The very problems or people they thought they left and tried to get away from, here they are again. And Christ has compassion. He speaks to them throughout the day. The end of the day comes. They get hungry and the disciples say, send them away. So they can eat. And Christ says, you feed them. Do you remember what they said? If you look back there, maybe I can get there real quick. They said, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? How are we going to do that? They felt inadequate. Let me ask you something. Why would God, something in God's will, He calls me into to do something, but it's beyond our ability. Why does He do that? Why, when we look at God's assignment, I mean, if we're honest, we say, I can't be a good husband or a wife. I'm trying, but just fail. I can't be I want to be a good father. I want to be a good grandfather. I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good grandma. I just can't. I can't be a good Sunday school teacher or bus worker or soul winner. Why do we feel that way? Well, first of all, we should feel that way. Because without Him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
I mean, didn't Moses feel that way when God said, I want you to go and stand before Pharaoh and say, let my people go? What did he say? I can't do that. Can you imagine being Gideon when God had the 30,000 soldiers that he whittled down to 300 to go against a host of Midianites? And he said, go fight them now. Can you imagine what he thought? I can't do that. And if we're not careful, the recognition of that inadequacy can cause stress. Stress. Which leads me to the third point. I'm getting to the answer here. We see the reality of stress, the reason for stress, then lastly, the remedy for stress. What can I do? What can I do to prevent from stressing out? Blowing a gasket. Two things. I went all this way to say two simple things get your part and go, oh, I did that. That's okay, because we need to be reminded of it.
Amen.
The first one is this. Look in between these two things. As Christ is upping the pressure on these guys, upping their responsibilities of things to do, right after they come back, look at verse 30 and 31. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Notice this, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Here's number one is this. The first thing you and I need to do is to take time to rest with him. Now notice what I said. I didn't say take time to rest, although you can do that. Take time to rest with him.
Amen.
With him.
Amen.
You see, Christ tells his disciples, let's go spend some time away from this together. Not just rest, rest in him.
Amen.
You see, here's the deal. This is what I'm trying to get to. The circumstances in life that God allows are designed to press us to him.
Praise the Lord.
To press us to him.
Amen.
To help us grow as a believer.
Amen.
J. Hudson Taylor, the great pioneer missionary to China, once said this. I want you to listen closely. He says, it matters not how great the pressure is, only where the pressure lies. If we make sure it never comes between us and our Lord, then the greater the pressure, the more it presses us to him. There's a great book you ought to read sometime. I haven't read the whole thing, but it's good. And I was intrigued by the title. It's called Crowded to Christ. Because what happens in life is that you and I face the mounting pressures of life, and we get to the place where we say, this is a lot of pressure, there's a lot of things I have to deal with. And we look at ourselves, and we see our inadequacies and our inabilities. What it does is it causes us to run to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I need you.
Amen.
I need you.
Amen.
You know, to make a diamond, you need pressure. Starts out as carbon and requires an intense amount of pressure and heat to become a diamond. And understand something. You and I, we cannot go through this life alone. And it's more than just a buddy that we need. It's more than just a spouse or a confidant. Well, that's nice. We need him.
Amen.
We need him.
And
when we speak to him, when we spend time with him, when we walk with him, you know what that does? It releases the pressure. That's what it does. You know, frequently in the Gospels, we find the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, was limited in his humanity to the amount of hours in a day, just like you and me. And he had sinless infirmities, hunger and being tired and all of that. What did he do? Did he go from morning to night nonstop? No! He spent many times getting away from the multitude and finding a place where he could spend time with his Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And I know he's God, and I understand all that. But
praise
for us,
Lord,
we need that.
Amen.
To relieve the pressure. You know, over the years, I've found that much of counseling, not all, but much of it, is simply listening. It is. Sometimes people just go and talk, and they almost solve their own problems sometimes because they talk their way right into the answer. And then they walk away saying, well, thanks for the counsel. You know, amen. We did a great job. Just do what you said, you know. But I found that the tension in people's lives have built up so much that they're looking for someone to pour their heart out to. They're looking for someone who will listen. They kind of find it therapeutic, if you will, in sharing their experience with an understanding listener. Can I ask you something? Who's a better listener but God?
Amen.
That's what we forget. Good. We run to this person, run to that person, and we talk about our stress, and we blow our gaskets, and we wonder why. Maybe it's because we haven't spent time with him.
That's good.
He is that release valve.
Amen.
As you pour your heart to Him and you tell Him, God, I can't do this. I can't be the right kind of father. I can't be the right kind of husband. I can't be the right kind of... I need You to do this. You need to enable me and help me to do this. You'll find something. It'll help you with
Amen.
Your stress. Do you remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 11?
Amen.
In verse 28. He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Notice what the criteria is to have that rest. May I put it this way for the sermon's sake? To get rid of that pressure and stress, all we have to do is come to Him.
Amen.
Spend time with Him.
Amen.
Relief. For rest, for pressure. And then there's a second thing, and that is this. We're done right here. The remedy for stress is not only take time to rest with Him, but then do our best and give God the rest.
Amen.
Back to our story in Mark chapter 6. What did the Lord say to His disciples after with the feeding of the 5,000? And they were there, and they said to Him, send them away. And He said, give ye them to eat. They said, we don't have it. I'm just paraphrasing. Not NIV, don't worry. We don't have it. We don't have a thing. Here's what He said. What do you have?
Amen.
What do you have? Five loaves and two fishes. Okay? You give that to Me.
Amen.
And I'll take care of it.
Praise the Lord.
You see, when we get to that, how can I balance this life? How can I balance this pressure of being a father and a husband and going to work and dealing with people and church ministry and all that? I can't do it. You're right. Without Him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
But what He does ask us to do, hey, just give Me your best. Give Me what you got and I'll
Amen.
Take care of the rest.
Praise the Lord.
Just do your best. Give Me what you got. And trust Him.
Amen.
With the rest. When we do that, guess what? We won't stress out.
Well, I'm not the perfect mom, and I'm not the perfect mother, and I should have done this, and I should have done that.
Hey, son, did you do your best? Did you do your best that you knew how to do? You can say, yeah. I did what I could. We all could say, well, I could tell a little bit better, but I gave it my best. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Give Him the rest.
Amen.
You know, if it were up to me, up to my parenting, my parenting alone, I'll even say our parenting alone that determined how my kids turned out, it wouldn't be good. Okay? Because we weren't perfect. But I would say this. I truly believe we tried to do our best of what we knew. And we gave God the rest.
Amen.
And thank the Lord. All of them are in church. Fundamental Independent Baptist Church is faithful. We're not perfect either. I'm not saying that. My point is this. If you look at yourself, well, I'm not the best wife. I'm not the best. Just do your best. Stop stressing out. Do your best. That's all God asks for. And that stress will be taken care of. Man's problem of stress. Don't let the pressures of this life cause you to blow a gasket, get stressed out, get all wrapped up inside that you can't deal with life. Give it to God. Walk with Him. Do your best.
Amen.
And let the stress go. Amen.
Amen. That's